We'll do this like every year. I don't really know why we have to do it. Don't you remember from last year what we said? The okay. We'll go topic by topic. No questions until we finish a topic, then I'll give time for questions. And the question should be relevant to the topic that we're discussing at the time. Okay. First, products, I guess. The list of hashgachas is published by Rav David Small. You can get it, I guess, in the office. It's up to date, and you can see on there which hashgachas we accept here, and for Pesach, what is okay stam and what has to be checked out, because they may, even though it says no kidneys, they may use things that we do consider kidneys and they don't consider kidneys. One change, perhaps, I don't know, remember what it was last year, but at some point we said that OU products with citric acid are a problem. They're not a problem. So all OU products, whether they're here, OUP products from America or from Eretz Israel, are okay for Pesach. They don't use citric acid that is kidneyish and ishtanu. They only use special citric acid that has nothing to do with kidneys. So in the past we said there are problems with that. There is no problem with that. Okay. Matzah products. We only use, we meaning that's the shita of the Moshav, we only use for regular matzah. We're not talking now about shmura matzah that you need for the Seder. We're talking about regular matzah during the week should at least be 18-minute matzah, which means that the machines, that's only by machine matzah. There's no such thing by hand matzah. Every matzah is 18 minutes. But by machine matzahs, many times they run the machines constantly and only clean them at the end of the day. And they rely on bittel, that if there's any dough that gets mixed in that was from a different run, it's just chametz, so it's bottle. That is not really lechatchila how to keep Pesach. So we're makbid to use only matzahs that are 18-minute matzahs, nothing less than that. Notice it has to say on the matzah, good hashgacha, and it says chai regaim on it. Okay, any other matzahs that are not that, we don't use here. That's the first thing. Memela, matzah meal and products with matzah meal are not made with 18-minute matzahs for the most part. Right? So most of the products from the really good hashgachas don't use things with matzah meal because they're concerned with people who don't use gebrachts. So therefore they don't use matzah meal at all. So those products are for sure okay. But there are hashgachas that do use matzah meal in products, for instance, in gefilte fish, in cake mixes, and things like that. And even if they have a decent hechsher, like an OU or whatever, but they have matzah meal in it, you shouldn't use it. Because it's not 18-minute matzah meal. Okay. The matzah for the seder has to be shmura matzah. And says on it, shmura. 18-minute matzah is not good for the Seder. It's not chametz, not shmura matzah, though. For the Seder, you have to use matzah shmura, either machine or hand, with a good hashgacha. Okay. Next, kidneys. Okay. The problematic things are the following. Cottonseed oil. There are those in Eretz Israel that consider cottonseed oil kidneys. In America, all the hashgachas, without exception, even the Hasidish ones, prefer using cottonseed oil. That is the preferred oil for Pesach. It's not considered kidneys, and we don't consider it kidneys. It's not minig Eretz Israel one way or the other. We don't consider it kidneys, and you can use cottonseed oil with a good hechsher. And products that have cottonseed oil also in it are okay. Peanut oil, on the other hand, preferably should not be used. I haven't seen it anyway. The oils that are used here are either walnut oil or olive oil or Shemin de Kalim, which is probably kosher but probably deadly. That's palm oil. It looks like it's something you could put into your car motor, but and now this year I saw pistachio oil. That's also okay. That's a good hash or whatever. Quinoa. Here, even though there are reliable hechsherim and reliable people who hold that quinoa is not kidneyous, but here we hold somewhere in between. For a regular, normal person who's healthy, who only would want quinoa because whatever reasons they have for eating that, which I'm not 100% sure why, but whatever the reason would be, it's kidneyous. You should not use it. For somebody who needs it for health reasons, real health reasons, and that they can't eat other things or whatever, and they need that for health reasons, so there's enough reason to be mater stam kidneyous for health reasons. So this, which is a suffix, whether it's kidneyous or not, we're mater for health reasons. Okay. But the quinoa, if you do use it, has to have a hechsher for Pesach, a good, reliable hechsher for Pesach. Can't just buy, I don't know how you buy quinoa anyway, but you can't just buy it as you usually do. It has to have a hechsher for Pesach. Okay. Like I said, the kishnish and ishtana was not really a problem because the major hashgachas, even the American hashgachas, here in Eretz Yisrael, the hashgachas, the chsam sofer, which we rely on for Pesach, on things that had a bedatz during the year, don't use kishnish and ishtana, and therefore you can rely on the chsam sofer hechsher where there was a bedatz hechsher during the year, or another hechsher that we used during the year that was taken off for whatever reasons. And the OU, like we said, the OK, the Chaf K, the Star K, all do not use kidneyish and ishtanu, and therefore they're all okay, even if they have citric acid in them. Or lecithin. Lecithin's another thing of kidneyish and ishtanu. And I don't know of a good hechsher that we use that will be a problem. Okay. Okay, any questions on products? Yeah.
Chatan sofer, that's the circle one and also the square one?
Both of them are the same, yeah.
I bought 100% pure honey, which I thought was kosher Pesach, but it wasn't. Does honey need to have a
honey needs a good hechsher during the year, because there's a lot of... And the bedatz honey during the year, I have to check in the bedatz book and see if they say that it needs a hechsher for Pesach or not. I'm sure. I hear. Usually the Badatz puts a hechsher if it is, and I have to check. Remind me afterwards. I'm checking. Yeah.
Tuna. I thought tuna embargo, it's chassan sofer only. It's not Badatz during the year, and it's in olive oil. Tuna and olive. I feel tuna, which.
Tuna in olive oil with a chassan sofer? And what does it have during the year? And there isn't there ones with an OUP?
I don't know. We buy it during the year, so must have something that I don't remember looking.
There's for sure star-kissed tuna with an OUP that's in water. That for
I don't want water. I want to get it in oil because water tastes horrible and oil tastes good. So
that's a matter of taste. Yeah.
We don't need quinoa. We don't need tuna and water.
Okay. Some sofer olive oil, and you don't know what it has during the year.
No, then it doesn't have it on the can. You know what I'm saying? Usually when it's bedatz during the year, it says bedatz during Akhni Mota Shana, and chassan sofer kosher. It doesn't say anything during the year. It just says chassan sofer kosher lepesach, no time for bundles, best sheva.
I have to check into it, remind me. Yeah.
Amnon fish.
Who?
Amnon fish.
Amnon fish. Oh, okay. fresh fish?
No, it's frozen.
Yeah. It has scales on it?
Yeah, the fish is a good fish. Kosher affects a fake filter.
And it's not me'ubad?
No, sometimes they set it with spices on it. This one is just
plain. If it's not me'ubad, it's just plain fish and it has scales on it, then even with the Beis Yosef, it's okay. If it's me'ubad, it's not, because it could have kidneys. Yeah, that's called me'ubad.
Ah, that's me'ubad.
No, it would say me'ubad or whatever. Just plain, ordinary fish, then with that hefsher is also okay, as long as it scales. If it's not plain, or it's fish, but me'ubad means that it's soaked and they put chemicals in, whatever, then it could be kidneys. Yeah. Depends what meat. Also, me'ubad is no good, because they may put kidneys, or what they don't consider kidneys and we do. That I can't. For instance, the machpud delicatessen is not okay, because they use kidney shinishtanu. I forgot what it's called, but...
four or five, all those numbers different?
Yeah, it depends if it's me'ubad or not.
If it's me'ubad, no.
Basically not. I mean, we'll check into it, but it's, I don't know. It could very well be kidneys. Rav Rubin has delicatessen that is okay.
Yeah. Are there other issues with machpud with the kidneys
and
fish?
Anything that doesn't have an issue of kidneys is okay.
I still remember the Rav last year said that what they consider kidneys and what we consider
right.
So even if they say...
So you have to... Let me know what the product is and we'll see what the ingredients are.
Mushrooms.
Huh?
Mushrooms
have citric acid in them. I'm not sure. There's other hechsherim that we know for sure don't use these things. Get it? Okay. There's something that only has machpud that you can't get with something else, then ask me. Yeah. What about? Cold cuts that say they have, what I remember is not what it is. It's not erythromycin, but it's something else like that in the ingredients. I guarantee you it's not erythromycin that's in there. But it's something sounds like that. Okay? It's kidney shinishtanu, and that is a preservative by delicatessen. The only one I know of that produces a delicatessen that doesn't have kidney shinishtanu is Rav Rubin's. And that is, there is in past years that didn't exist. Now Rav Rubin has, and Rav Rubin also has delicatessen you can get, you get in the stores also, not all of them, but you get it by Chofetz Chaim, the store in on Agrippus, right? Mitamei Chofetz Chaim, they also have cold cuts, hot dogs, or whatever, right, that are kidneys free, even according to what we hold from kidneys.
My mother brought me knockwurst.
Knockwurst?
That's what we eat. So it's a cold cut, basically.
That's okay.
But, yeah, okay, fine.
Why don't you bring me?
That's okay.
Any other questions on products? Okay, next. What? They don't consider it kidneys. It's there are a lot of things that are borderline. Some svaras could be kidneys, could not. Canola oil, there are those that don't hold it's not kidneys. There's those that hold that any kidneys that's made into oil is okay. So there are plenty of heterim. If somebody uses it and you want to eat in their house, as long as they don't use the oil in what you're eating, but they use it in their kalim, kidneys is bottled the rove. So, for sure, what's it called, the amount of kidneys oil or something left in the pot is no problem. So you can eat from somebody who, what's it called, holds, especially where there's a suffix and they hold that it's mutter, right? And even though we hold it's kidney, yes, there's a million reasons to think that should be makel, it's bottle, and as long as the kidney is not in the thing you're eating. That's why you can eat by svardim, what's it called, who use kidneys or whatever, as long as the kidneys is not in the thing, it's in their kalim, is okay. Yeah. It has to be with the heksher that we use. The main one that we use that has is for drinks is Rav Reuben. There's a million different things to drinks Rav Reuben. It's okay.
So the drinks that have Rav Reuben all year and they just have a stamp on it comes with
it. If it doesn't say Rav Reuben puts on there, but either Lola Pesach or Rak le Mehadrin le Kol Hashana and Kashrus Regila le Pesach. If it doesn't say that, it says Rav Reuben and has a thing, Kosher LePesach, if Rav Reuben didn't want that sticker to be there, he would have put on the label, Rakla, which says, okay.
He says Rabbanut Bilbat.
Who?
He writes Rabbanut Bilbat.
Right, whatever. Right.
So a lot of these things that have good hexer like the dots, I guess you see this a lot in the dairy products, and it says, with a stamp, Kosher LePesach, we hold by that, basically, because it's
dairy products.
Badat,
yeah, again, if the badats knew that that's possible to do, they don't want their hechsher, they would have put on the hechsher only l'chol hashanah. Okay, that's products. Next. Cleaning the house. Okay. General rule. The main thing you should take care of first is cleaning for chametz, not spring cleaning. You can do spring cleaning after Pesach also. But make sure that the chametz stick of things, and that is not as difficult as cleaning your whole house. For instance, you don't have to clean your screens for Pesach. Even though 1 year, Erev Pesach, I got a frantic call from one of my balabatim in Miami, that she just realized she forgot to clean her screens. This was like Ramesh before Yontif. And she wanted to know if they could have the Seder in that room. Or they had to move to another room.
We know.
I told her, if you don't eat on the screens, right, then probably it's okay. But next year you should make sure to do the screens first. Because since she held it was such an important thing, if I would have told her that, she probably would have had bread for the Seder also. Okay, in any case, so what has to be cleaned? Places that you're closing up and selling your chametz. Most of us sell real chametz. If you have the minig not to sell real chametz, so fine. Then you can still sell your pots and pans. You just clean them off that there's no real chametz that's baked onto them, but otherwise you don't have to worry. And all those cabinets, you don't really have to clean out. You can just close them up and sell them with your chametz. So all those cabinets that have your pots and pans that you're going to sell with your chametz don't have to be cleaned. Again, that is, if you want to clean them, it's nice to clean them once a year. But if you don't want to clean them or you have other things to do, save that for last. Any place...
Huh? Could be pretzels in there, seriously. Could be bread and water.
If you sell chametz,
well, you don't sell chametz, come.
No.
No. Now, I know you don't sell chametz, so it's irrelevant. You have to clean it out.
Oh, we do have to. Okay. So it's a separate
time. Only for people who sell chametz, come. Okay. Right. The rest of the places that you're not selling, right? If you have a room that you're not going to close off that room and sell it, you don't have to make bedikas chametz in that room. You don't have to do anything. Just whatever's in that room, you can sell. Somebody called me. They're leaving their house for Pesach. Nobody is coming into the house. They're locking it up. They're not going to be here where they can come back into the house. All they have to do is sell the house, and they don't have to do anything. They don't have to clean anything. You don't have to do anything. Just close the house up and sell it. Preferably, if that's what's happening, if anybody here leaving their house for Pesach? Okay, but in any case, if you are, it's preferable to sell in a mechira we don't do here. But in Kiryat Sefer, there are Rabbanim who sell on the 13th also. In other words, a day, Thursday. So that way, by the time Thursday night comes, it's already sold. So then the chiyuv of Bedikas Chom is nachal. The Maisa we hold, there's some sofer, it's not like that. And if you sell it, you know you're going to sell it, even though the sale is going to be after Bedikas Chom, it's night, it's also okay. But if you want to be mahadar, it's good to, if you're going to close up places and sell them, right, that you sell them in Kiryat Sefer on the 13th and not with us on the 14th. Okay. Wait, no question. The floors, carpets. You don't have to get on your knees and go through every fiber of the carpet to take out crumbs. You just have to vacuum the carpet normally, and anything left there is not edible and is bottle, perurim. You don't have to worry about it. The same thing goes with the floor. You just have to mop it normal, with preferably with some kind of cleaner, and whatever left is there is pogum and only perurim and is not a problem. You don't have to get on the floor after you mop the floor and go through the cracks in the tiles and make sure there's no chametz there. It's not necessary at all. What else? Sfarim. If you want to be machmir, then you should check all the sfarim that you think you're going to use for Pesach. Go through them, not page by page, but you know, flip them through. And the rest of the svarim, you should put a mechitza, and if you don't have to check them, and that way you sell them with your chametz. That's a hiddur, a chumra. If you want to rely on what I rely on, right, because to go through my entire library and check every sefer would be almost impossible, and also I don't want to start putting mechitzas up, whatever. And Rov HaPoskim hold that whatever's in a sefer can't be more than crumbs, and it's probably not edible, and therefore you don't have to make bedikas chametz on your svarim. However, if you plan to bring that sefer to the table during Pesach, then you should check it good, because otherwise you have crumbs falling out of the sefer into your food. That is a problem. So any sefer you're going to bring to the table should be checked, and preferably you could check it before Pesach. But if you know you're going to bring it to the table, you can check it on Pesach. And if any crumbs come out, you burn them on Chol HaMoed or whatever. But you could rely on that. If you have a few svarim only, so you could be machmer and check them before Pesach and whatever. If you have a lot of svarim, then you should, what's it called, you should do what I told you to do. The ones you're going to bring to the table, check. The ones you don't plan to bring to the table, you don't have to check at all. You should check, if you especially have little children, you should check the shelves that the svarim are on, because little children make meals on those shelves. So, in fact, if you have little children in the house, then there's no place in the house that chametz isn't brought into. You have to check everywhere, including bathrooms, everywhere, that in a normal house the people don't usually bring chametz in, that does not apply to little children. Okay. Huh? Where they can reach. Yeah. Where they can climb, reach, whatever. Okay. But any place that you conceivably could have brought chametz in, you were eating a sandwich and walked into that place, you have to check, make bedikas chametz that place, and preferably, therefore, to clean it before leil bedikas chametz. And then Leil Bedikas Chametz, to go over and check it, make sure that you cleaned it well. And that's what we rely on. That which it says that you have to check in every nook and cranny and every crack is only if you didn't clean your house before Pesach. And the house cleaning is the Leil Bedikas Chametz. When you had a house that had two rooms, right, that was possible to do. But in our houses, that's impossible to do. To do everything leil bedikas chametz. So the Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, what the minig is to clean the house well before leil bedikas chametz, and then by bedikas chametz to check to make sure that your cleaning was good. So that's what Bedikas Chametz should be, a check to make sure that what you cleaned is fine. And you don't have to make Bedikas Chametz in the places that you're closing up and selling with the Chametz. So all of the cabinets that you're putting your pots and pans in, or food items that you're selling, you don't have to make Bedikas Chametz in those places, because those places are being sold anyway. Okay. Any questions on cleaning? Yeah. Because I'm not so involved in that, so...
Maybe I should address them to the Rebbe then?
Yeah. She knows much better than me, and she doesn't trust me either, so you can ask her.
So Bedikas Chametz, if there is a place that, you know, we don't have little children in the house, that we know Chametz doesn't go into, let's say like the top shelves in my our room, does my husband have to check that?
No. No.
He does not. Okay, and I have a shelf there. I take my, the trays that I put on my plata, I stuff them in there, and okay, maybe there's some crumbs that might be there, and I'm going to close it up and sell it, but those crumbs are not, you know,
no problem.
I don't have to wipe them all up.
No. 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 You don't have to clean the pots that you're selling.
No, but I'm saying there may be some...
And the crumbs also. You're closing up that whole area. If there's any chametz, so you're selling it. And the goy knows, manafshach. If it's such crumbs that are bottle umavotl, so then they're bottle anyway. If they're not, then they're part of the sale. So either way, you're covered. Yeah.
As far as Mechiras Chametz, over the years, we've heard different things. The past few years, we've been saying that even if you sell a Chametz Gomer, there should only be something of value or a significant amount. It's just the little things that should be cleaned up and disposed of.
Yeah, if you can get rid of all your Chametz, only save things that are really not Chametz, real kidneys kind of things, or things that... are not Chametz Gomor, that's better. It's a hither. But if you have things that are left that are significant and you can't finish them before Pesach, and it would be a loss of money for you. What's considered a loss of money depends on a person. Right? For Reichman, what a loss of money is one thing, and for somebody else be a different thing. So if it's significant for you, then you can sell real Chametz. It's a chumrah not to sell real chametz. And Lamaisa, what's it called? You can sell real chametz. Most people here are not makbid not to buy chametz after Pesach from people who sold their chametz. And even though that for sure is a real chumrah not to do that, because not to sell chametz on Pesach is because you're dealing with chiyuve kores. But after Pesach is nisa d'rabbana. Somebody who sold their chametz, right, if you don't hold from the mechira, it's not an issur kores. He was over an issur, but you're only over an issur d'rabban of chametz shavu lo pesach. So there for sure is a place to be makel. But in any case, if it's insignificant, then why not, you know, be mahadir and get rid of it, eat it, get rid of it, and don't have to sell real chametz. And then you can be machmer like those shitas hold that it's better not to sell real chametz. But if you have significant amount of chametz, and significant depends on each person, what's significant to them, and it may not be something that's so expensive, but it may be something that you really want for after Pesach, and you can't replace it. You bought it in Chutz Laretz or whatever, and you can't replace it. That's also chashuv. So whatever is chashuv, you can, again, unless you have a minig not like that. Your minig is not to sell real chametz, so then if you want to change your minig, you have to have hataras nedarim, and you have to have a good reason why. But if you don't have that minig, then you sell real chametz.
How about if you want the noodles for after Pesach to eat when you can't find them in the store?
Some people go out and buy chametz erev Pesach, so they'll have it right after Pesach. That you shouldn't do. That you shouldn't do. If you have it, and again, it's not, you know, one portion, but it's a few bags of noodles, and you want fresh bread, you can sell them. Okay. Any other questions on cleaning the house? Yeah.
Coincidentally, I have four questions. So first of all, you said if your bedikas really make sure that the cleaning was good. Okay, so let's say there's some place between two shelves or something, where chametz could go. Now the place was clean, everything moved out, but You don't have to check there?
I didn't say you have to check. You have to check. But you don't have to go through every crack and cranny. If you know you cleaned that out beforehand, all you have to do is check and make sure that your cleaning was okay. It's a very big difference between cleaning out at the time that you're making bedikas chametz and checking that what you cleaned out was okay.
I thought the cleaning maybe was just to make the bedika easier.
Huh?
I thought the cleaning perhaps was to make the bedika easier. Like it's easy to check under a bed if it's been cleaned. You just one
exactly. That's exactly what we're saying.
Okay.
But doesn't mean you don't have to check under the bed. You do. But it's a lot bigger difference in picking up the bed and going there and seeing every spot, which you probably did when you cleaned it, right? Then putting a flashlight under and looking and make sure that what you cleaned was fine. There's nothing left.
The car needs to be checked for the night.
Who?
The car.
The car should be cleaned before. And yeah, you should look quickly in the car, and it's the same bracha that you made in your house can go in the car. If you can't, for some reason, your car is not available to you, leil bedikas chametz, you can do it in the daytime and make bedika in the daytime and not do it again at night.
Is that an eitzah for anything else to make the leil bedikas chametz easier to do, to check in the daytime?
In a house, you shouldn't rely on that, no. In a house.
Okay, and if you have some things in the room that you're selling or getting rid of, and other things half the room you're using, you still want to move these things. You're saying, we're not going to use these on Pesach. So how should you set it apart?
No, it has to be set apart either with a mechitza of 10 tefachim or behind closed drawers or whatever that are closed up or whatever. There's not a mechitza, something that could be like a mechitza for facade. If you're putting it in a whole aron and closing up the aron, that's a mechitza. Not a mechitza, then it's.
You can't just throw a blanket over the stuff or something.
What? For what?
I don't know how to do the cleaning, but I can just imagine.
Huh?
Let's say you got a bunch of things. It's too difficult to check. And you're not going to be using it anyway.
It depends what. If it's real chametz sticker things, then you should make a real mechitza or put it behind an aron or something. If it's pots, pans, things like that, then you could put it, you could cover it up, mm-hmm. and make a hecker that it's
let's
that these things.
Let's say a bunch of toolboxes. You don't want to go through all your tools. You don't have time.
Yeah, that you can just put some hecker that you're not going to go through it. Children's toys have to be gone through or closed up and sold and not used on Pesach. One of the two. What else? Oh, putting away things that's just good. You can't use a freezer or a refrigerator and put chametzdika things wrapped up on the same shelf that you have pesachdika things, or on a different shelf, but not totally separate. If it's real chametzdika things, either you have to segregate a good portion of the thing and close it up. For instance, you have those two drawers on the bottom. Put them in there and close it up. That already, even though it's not 10 tefachim high, but that already is completely segregated. If it's not chametzdika things, it's just kidneyous things, or things that you use during the year, and they're not chametzdik, but you can't use them on Pesach because you use them during the year, and there's a chash, you know, whatever, crumbs got in or whatever, there you can wrap it up and put it on a shelf in the refrigerator, where it's clearly marked and closed up that it's not, you can't be used for Pesach. If it's real chametz, you can't do that. Either you have to close up the whole freezer or a good section of it that can be sectioned off completely. Yeah.
Children's toys, thank you for reminding me. Is this just a mishigas of my neighbors that my children brought home, or do you actually have to take
the toys?
I'm Catholic. I put them in a pillowcase and run them through the machine. Or is it just enough to go through them and see if there's bread?
Yeah, it's good enough to go through them and see that there's no crumbs or whatever on them, or mamish caked on chametz. But otherwise, you don't have to put them in your washing machine.
Because I've been a criminal for years, and now I'm doing tshuva, and I started cleaning the machine.
No, you don't have to do that. Okay, any other question? Yeah.
How do you remunerate Sharia for making that?
Bedika for mechiras chametz or bedikas one? Huh? Bedikas chametz, you just tell somebody to do it for you. You don't have to make any kinyonim or whatever. And if you're there when the shliach is doing it, in other words, he's going to do it completely for you. Yeah. You're not going to do anything. If you have a shliach who's going to help you, then you make the bracha, he listens, and all the rest of the rooms you do with that bracha. If you're not going to be there, and only the shliach is going to be there, and it's not his house, then he doesn't make a bracha. And the bedika. Okay, cash kashering, yeah.
I know the Lord has mentioned this other years, but plastilina, is that...
Plastilina is, for the best of my knowledge, artificial. Play-Doh is not plastilina.
No, I'm talking the Israeli plastilina.
From what I understand, that's a synthetic thing. It's not dough. Play-Doh is dough. And it's chametz gomer. Well, it's chametz, some kind of chametz. But the plastilina, from what I understand, is like clay. It's not made from flour. It's made from some kind of plastic. That's what I understand. Okay, could be I'm wrong, but I think it is. It's not Play-Doh. That's, yeah.
Are balloons a problem?
Balloons could have starch in them so they don't stick together in the bag. And that starch could be kidneys or could be chametz. So balloons could be a problem. I don't know where they put starch in balloons here in the States or whatever, but balloons could be a problem. Whether they are or not specifically, the balloons that you buy, I'm not sure. But if they have a powder on them, right, and they then for sure you shouldn't use them on Pesach. Yeah.
What about
glue? Glue's not a problem. Glue is whatever chametz could be in there is bottle, unless the glue is made mamish from flour. I mean, there are glues that kids make, you know, in Gan make glue. But I think all the commercial glues are whatever. If there's any kind of chametz in the glue, it's not roi lachilas kelev anymore, right? Because if kelev eats it, he won't be able to eat anything else after that. No, I'm just kidding.
The glue that they used for sticking the mud off on the wall, the posters on the wall, that is proper chametz.
Yeah, okay, could be.
Yeah, but that be, you know,
nobody here uses those. Not yet. So soon. Not yet, though.
Rubber gloves can be a problem.
Huh?
Rubber gloves. If balloons are a problem,
rubber gloves have the same problem with the starch.
Yeah.
So you have to know what's it called. again, I think they have gloves with a heksher. That they don't use those starches, but that you have to take into consideration. Okay, the heksher of the kitchen. Start with the easy ones first. Refrigerators, all you have to do is clean them out well. In the areas that you can't get to, if you don't want to stick with a toothpick and get every little crumb out of the crevices, you can just pour something that will pogame economica or some other kind of cleaner into those cracks, and whatever's there then is bottle. You don't have to cover the shelves unless you know that you put real chametz, sometimes hot chametz, right onto the shelf. Usually people don't do that in the refrigerator. They put a pot, maybe, that's hot into the refrigerator. They don't put, you know, a hot cake right on the shelf in the refrigerator, I don't think. I mean, Lani's Naiti, I don't think so. So you don't have to cover the shelves. If you want to cover them, gesunter heit, but you should make sure that there's place for the air to circulate, otherwise you could kill your refrigerator and the food. The freezer, the same thing. Just clean it out well. It doesn't have to be covered. And any cracks and crevices, just pour some bleach or something down there, and whatever's there is bottle. Sinks. If you have a porcelain sink, you can't kosher it. You have to get an insert. And we said preferably the insert shouldn't sit mamish on the bottom of the sink. should be a little space in between, and it should have a drain, obviously, that the water can drain out. And before Pesach, you should pour some drain cleaner or bleach down the drain, so anything that's in there that may come up again on Pesach is bottled. If you have strainer on the spigot of the sink should be changed or blowtorched, because there are a lot of stuff comes through there, whatever. Chaim Jacobs pointed out to me that there could be problems if people have, and not just for Pesach, but all year round, people have special filters on their sinks. The problem is that a lot of times these filters really get dirty, and the water that goes through them becomes not drinkable until it goes through the, well, it comes out of the filter or whatever. At some point it's not drinkable, and then the filter works on it. And that is also to use on Shabbos. You can only use filters on water that any most people would drink, and you're just filtering it for extra hygiene. But if the water is not drinkable at all, then filtering it is probably an issur d'oraisa, and you can't use that water. So I'm still looking into it a little bit, but if you have a special, if you have some regular kitchen things, not a problem. But the real special filtration systems may be a problem. So if you have one of them, you can ask and go into it. Go through it. That's a sink. If you have a stainless steel sink, you should leave it for 24 hours, not using it with hot, and then kosher it by boiling up water. Preferably, if you can, put hot metal in the sink, so when you pour the water over it, it'll remain boiling. Or you can lightly go over the inside of the sink with a blowtorch to make it hot, so when you pour the boiling water over, it'll be hot. If you can't do either of those, you can just pour the boiling water without putting hot stones or hot metal in the sink. And that koshers it. And you don't have to put anything in there, no inserts. You can use the sink the regular way. Same thing goes for the metal on the sides of the sink. Just pour boiling water. When you started to pour it, it was rolling boil, and that koshers the metal on the side of the sink. If you have shayish, the shayish we have can't be kashered, clean it well. You don't have to pour boiling water over it because it won't help. And just cover it with something that will remain intact for the whole Pesach. Some kind of thick linoleum or something like that, or heavy-duty aluminum foil. That's what you have to do. That goes for all the countertops. Tables should be cleaned well. You don't have to pour boiling water on them. Tables that you eat on should have a plastic cover on them for the whole Pesach, and then on top of that, a tablecloth, milchik fleishik, or whatever that you can change. But they should be covered with plastic that's not taken off for the whole Pesach directly on the table, and then on top of that, a tablecloth. Okay, that's sinks, ovens. Okay, if you have a dishwasher, ask a private shayla. Dishwashers are very hard to kasher, and if you don't have a special one for Pesach, you're probably going to have to close it up. Ovens. Preferably you should get an insert for your oven, clean it well, and use it with the insert, or get another oven, small oven for Pesach. If you can't do either of those, then you can kasher the oven. The racks in the oven have to be put into somebody's self-cleaning oven or blowtorched. The oven itself should be cleaned well with Easy Off or something like that. And preferably you should leave the oven for 24 hours if you're koshering it the way I'm going to tell you right now. And then leave it on for until it gets to the highest heat that it's going to get to, about an hour or two. And then it's kosher, except if you have a glass in the door, you should cover that with aluminum foil on the inside. That's the inside of the oven. If you have a self-cleaning oven, you put it on to self-clean, that's enough, and you can put the racks in there, put other people's racks in there, and kosher them also. That's considered koshered if you put it on the self-clean cycle. The top, if it's electric, just leave it get red hot, and that's kosher, and everything in between, just cover with aluminum foil after you clean it. If it's gas, so the chatzuvot, the tripods that the pots sit on, should be either blowtorched or put in somebody's self-cleaning oven, or made red hot by putting them over the flame and moving them around so the whole thing becomes red hot. The places, the drip pans or whatever, should change. They're disposable things you can get, or you can get one special for Pesach. The place where the gas comes out, just turn the gas on and leave it on for a few minutes so it burns out anything that's in there. And the places between the burners have to be covered with aluminum foil. And if you have a hood, that also has to be covered. And the back, wherever there's pots that may touch the back of the oven, or behind your oven you have tiles or whatever, that there's steam or whatever goes on, that has to be cleaned well and covered with aluminum foil or whatever. Next, microwaves. Preferably you shouldn't kosher a microwave for Pesach. It's a good investment. They're very cheap microwaves. Get a microwave for Pesach. If you can't, and you must kosher a microwave for Pesach, call me privately. Think that covers the whole kitchen? Yeah, okay, now any questions on this? Yeah.
Is there a way to kosher Tami Arba?
Tami Arba? Was that a water bar?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that the ones that are, that's hot.
It has that on.
Hot and cold?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look into it. The cold things, like the soda stream, the gas is kosher to Pesach. You should just clean the thing well. But the lechora you can use it for Pesach. You should change the bottles.
So it comes up from the same place, both hot and cold come up from the same...
Hot and cold come from the same thing?
Yeah.
And what do you put in there? Just water?
It's connected to the sink and it always has water going in.
So first of all, you can't use that on Shabbos.
Right.
Okay. Secondly, it's connected to the sink. So what else do you put in there besides water?
Nothing.
And but you.
But you put cups of coffee or whatever under it, and it
splashes up.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it can't be kosher if that's the case. But I don't know. I'll have to look into it. Yeah. No, I was told last year by Ellie Hazen that those were old-fashioned self-cleaned ovens, but modern-day self-clean ovens don't have that problem, right? Okay, so from what I understand, not. Yes. Yeah. Unless there's no real chametz in there. It's okay. The boiling water should be enough. Just wash it out good. But usually you can't clean it that well. The boiling water won't help if you can't clean it. But if it looks clean, and then you can pour boiling water, it's fine. Yeah. What?
To heaters to boil the water in my thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything I should know? I'm just going to put it in and.
An immersion heater to boil up the water instead of putting it on the gas.
No, the sink. The sink.
You're going to fill the water.
And then you put the thing in and it's supposed to boil the water in the sink.
No, it's an industrial immersion heater. It's not one of the little things that you put in a teacup.
I'm sure they left it out for Pesach and I reserved it. And apparently you put it in the sink and it boils the water in the sink.
That's fine. That's even better.
Does that have to splash over the top or anything like that? I don't know.
It should get to every surface where the sink is. But, yeah, that's even better. But it's not one of these little things you put in a teacup.
No.
You'll be there till next Pesach. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
Which kettle do you use to kosher the sink? The Pesach one or the other?
if you want to be mahadir, use something that is kosher for Pesach that you're not going to use for Pesach. However, if you have any kind of kli that you haven't used for 24 hours, you can use it for kashering the sink.
That includes a kettle?
That includes a kettle that you haven't used for 24 hours, and it probably was never chametz anyway, real chametz.
When you're kashering the sink, does it have to be with a kettle, or could you do it with a kli shayit?
No, it should be from the fire itself, the kli rishon. Yeah. An oven what?
A toaster oven, a separate one for pizza. Can it be used for, can you buy one oven for cooking up this inflation?
A toaster oven?
Yeah. For the regular oven, if you, there's a way to do with
yeah, a toaster oven is too small to do like that.
So you need two?
Or you only eat milk with inflation. Yeah. Platters and a blech. The blech should be blowtorched, and usually just discolor it. It won't destroy it. Except usually there's a protective coat on it that it takes off, and then it rusts. So it's better to buy another blech for Pesach. But you, theoretically, a platter you don't have to blowtorch. You should clean it well, and turn it on to the highest heat and cover it with some aluminum foil.
How long does it need to stay on?
Huh?
How long does it need to stay on?
Just till it gets hot.
Just,
huh?
Just for how long?
Just till it gets hot. Yeah.
I have a large oven that sits on a countertop. It holds 2 9 by 13 pans.
That's what's a Dutch oven, no?
I don't know. Where
I think. No, that's what it's called.
Do I have to have separate ovens like that? Is that considered a
utensil? How big is that?
Well,
that's the same size as a regular oven?
No. It's smaller than a regular oven.
It has an exhaust?
No, I don't think so.
It looks like a big microwave.
It's a large capacity toaster oven.
It's bigger than a microwave.
Better not to use that for. Right, unless whatever the one that you don't use it normally for, let's use it for fleishiks. You want to use it for milchiks, double wrap in aluminum foil. It's not a microwave, an aluminum foil, the milchik. That you could do. But to use it for both, right, in between, it's more like a kli than an oven.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't so clear about the filter. I have like a plain filter over my sink.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. What I'm that little thing that you unscrew. You unscrew the top and it's in the spigot.
Yes, spigot.
Okay. Shikasher it. You go get another one. They cost, I don't know. Tenaguro, whatever they cost, 3 shekels. What? She's talking about something else? Oh, filter system. Yeah, okay. That, you have to, can you use it? Yeah, you can use it. Question is whether you can use it every Shabbos. It depends how often do you clean that filter?
Change the thing once a year. There's stuff that needs change.
Yeah, so once a year may be that what's coming into there is really undrinkable water.
Why would it be undrinkable? We drink it out of the faucet.
Yeah, I'm saying that's after it goes to the filter.
Whoa. No. I don't understand.
It's
if I hadn't bought the filter, I would still be drinking the regular water that they have in here at the
right, 100%. But once you have the filter and it really gets filled with whatever, right? So at some point the water becomes undrinkable and then is filtered to come through your thing. And at that point that it's undrinkable, it's also to filter it.
Okay. Why is it undrinkable?
Because it's mixing with all the garbage that's been accumulating there for a year.
As it's going through the filter, it's mixing with the garbage, and then it goes through another filter that cleans it.
Right, exactly.
So we shouldn't use it on top of
it. I didn't say that. I said it's possible.
Is it aqua for drinking?
It depends on the filter. It depends what kind of filter. I'm not 100% sure. I'm just starting to read up on it because somebody sent me the information. What?
Is it aqua for drinking, sir, or also for washing your hands? You don't mind.
Yeah, no, for washing your hands, and you don't want to drink it.
Why are you washing your hands? You have a filter system inside. Yeah, it's a separate tank.
I don't know, I'll look at it.
No, let's say you have on the outside where the water comes into the house.
No, that's not talking about that. Reverse osmosis.
Yeah, okay, I'm not clear about it, so I'm not going to say anything. I don't know.
Because there are three filters, one after the other.
Anything else? Drugs and cosmetics. Liquid cosmetics, like perfumes, colognes, deodorants, you should not use unless they're on a list that the alcohol in them is not chametzdik alcohol. And there's a whole host of them from Chutz Laaretz, and from here they have hechsherim. Use those. And there's a million different ones that are okay. A toothpaste, you should get with a hechsher for Pesach, and you should use a new tube. Lipstick, you can use regular lipstick, but either you should get a new one for Pesach, or at least cut off the end that you use during the year. The end of it. Other lip things, chapstick, somebody asked me, chapstick is okay for Pesach, but again, if you use it during the year, you should at least take off the top, a layer of it or whatever, or get a new one for Pesach. Drugs, we have lists or whatever, if you have specific drugs you have to take, medications, let's use that, any medications you have to take, if you have to take drugs, don't... Right. Very private. What?
Can you trust the Klalit list?
Yes. Yes.
Vitamins that have kosher Pesach,
Kosher the Pesach? Vitamins? Yeah, vitamins, even if they're kidneys, that's probably the only problem that could be with them. Right. For medication purposes, if you're taking it because you have some kind of condition or whatever, not just because you want to be extra special healthy, you can take them. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we trust the Rav Zeritsky list?
I don't know. I'm familiar with the list, but Rav Zeritsky is a reliable source. He can trust his list.
He gives a shame on all kinds of cosmetics and drugs. And,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Stuff
in the supermarkets and whatever. Yeah, but most of these things, really, there's not that much of a problem altogether. It's a chumrah. So if somebody reliable has a list, you can trust it. Liquid, what's it called? Solid cosmetics, solid deodorants are all okay. The main problems are things that, like mouthwashes and things like that, and toothpaste, and liquid perfumes, colognes, deodorant, liquid deodorants. The other things are mostly not a problem. Yeah?
Do we have to sell the mouthwash and cologne?
No, just put it away with the... You don't have to sell it. Yeah?
And what about the Gosan shampoo?
Huh? But in any case, in the shtar, it says all those things, so it's sold anyway. But you don't have to put it away with the chametz or whatever if it's a big, big bother. What? But it's going to be sold anyway, if it's chametz. Yeah? Shampoo. Most shampoos are okay unless they have what's it called? It says wheat or there's other kinds of things that may have oats. If it's one of these, you know, exotic shampoos with wheat and oats in it, right, then first of all, don't drink it, and second of all, shouldn't use it either. Yeah?
I think that my soap may be oatmeal soap.
Oatmeal soap?
I don't use it on my face.
It's probably the oatmeal in there is bottle mavutl, and a dog wouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably okay anyway, but get a different soap for Pesach.
Okay, but I don't have to sell it.
No. Again, if the way the shtar is written, if it happens to be chametz, it'll be sold automatically. If it's not chametz, it doesn't have to be sold. So you don't have to do anything specifically to sell each specific thing, except things that are real chametz you have to put away somewhere, right? But whatever it is in your house, the way the shtar is worded, it's going to be sold if it's chametz.
I see. Not that we're selling certain
cabinets. Right, exactly. We don't do that for the dafka for that reason. In case you forget to put something or you didn't realize something has to be put in there. We just say wherever it is in this house, that's what's sold. Yeah. The alcohol on it says SD alcohol, specially denatured alcohol, and there's a number after that. So some of them have been checked out that that denatured alcohol is kidneyous alcohol. Some of it is real chametz alcohol. Now that, some people hold that since it's denatured, that means that it's mixed with things that make it poisonous, that it's bottled. Others hold no, that it could be restored. And even, it's not mamish poisonous, because drunks sometimes drink that thing, that kind of alcohol. So it's a chumrah to consider that not to be used on Pesach. There's a million of them, the major brands, that are Arid and Reitgard, they're all okay. Because the alcohol in them is either kidneyous or whatever. It's not chametz. Yeah. Liquid hand soap is, to the best of my knowledge, not a problem for anything. Even if it's scented or whatever, all of that is bottle and not broil achil anymore for anybody or anything.
Dish soap has to have
a hechsher. Dish soap is obviously edible, because it wouldn't be edible, you wouldn't use it on dishes. Anything else? Okay, anybody now questions on anything? Anybody? Yeah?
I had a Kiddush cup. It's the same cup itself is in crystal. The stem is silver.
You only use it for Kiddush?
I haven't used it. I mean, my hand only used it for my
hand. Yeah. Can make a milivir, yeah. Like drinking glasses or whatever, or that aren't usually used with mamish hot things, right, can be kashered by putting them in regular tap water for 72 hours. Changing the water every 24 hours, and it has to be totally submerged, and it has to be continuous, not broken up one day here, one day there, whatever. Right.
Someone has fillings in their mouth.
What? Fillings in their mouth? So first we use a blowtorch, and then the fillings don't have anything. It's a hither to not eat hot chametz 24 hours before Pesach. It's a hither. Usually we say that anything you can put in your mouth is not yatzel lettuce bowl.
No.
Huh?
Mouth takes
usually the poskim say that your mouth, what you put into your mouth, is not going to be yatzel lettuce bowl.
If Rob puts his finger in a cup of tea, he can take it out straight away, but he'll still drink the tea.
But food that's good, that comes to your teeth or whatever, is usually not there. That's a wussel mechan. Teeth bechlal, yeah?
I have a question that's not Pesach per se, but it's going to save me a phone call. I have an oven which is double. One is power, one is flation. Now, the trays from the parable one may have the conflations and may not. So I stopped using them. Is there any
call me.
To make a power again? Like a magic something for this
one? Yeah, blow, you can, I don't know what you, how you use them, but if you bring them to blowtorch them, they remain part of.
Can you blowtorch something that has like, I think it's like ceramic or something?
Ceramic?
Enamel. Yeah, can I do that? Can I blowtorch it?
No, well, they're not, they're trays. They're not the, I thought you were talking about the grates.
Trays.
Usually those can't be kashered.
I can't do anything.
What's it, what are you going to use it for? Meat?
No,
parv.
I usually what I do is I put pans of cakes on them, parv the cakes. I don't put anything directly.
Yeah, you're not going to use anything that's onions or something like that?
No.
No, just cake. Leave it for 24 hours and use it for parv.
I can use it again for parv?
Just clean it off and leave it for 24 hours. To, yeah. What?
Candles that we might, Shabbos candles.
Candles? If they were on the table and could have chametz on them, if you keep them off the table and use regular oil, like the most it could be is kidneys oil, which you're allowed to use on Pesach too. That's okay. You don't have to do anything with them. If you're going to put them on the table, you should either cover it, or some people are make hagola on it as an extra chumra. If it's not on the table, it's no problem. Yeah.
My oven racks or my oven that I'm going to self-clean. If I scrub them with cleaner and water and don't use them for 24 hours, even though there's like brown marks in them that aren't going to wash.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's discoloration.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you can feel if you put your hand over it. It's nothing.
Right.
When you're putting them in a self-cleaning oven.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. You don't even have to clean them. The self-cleaning oven kashers them even without cleaning them. Whatever is there is burnt, and whatever is left is just discoloration.
If you need to go shopping for food during Chol HaMoed, how much do you have to be careful, like of buying stuff for Avodah? It's not going to be left over for Avodah. How much?
You can buy at Chol HaMoed. If you're not buying it specifically for after, in other words, bedafka, right? But you're buying what possibly you could use, a normal amount. Or if, what's it called, by buying less it's going to cost you more. If you want to get the normal big size that you get, even though sometimes the big size costs more than the little size, two little sizes. Okay? It's not always, if you figure it out, sometimes it's much cheaper to buy the smaller ones, more of them than the bigger one. Okay? They fool you like that. But let's say that's the case. Then you can, as long as theoretically you could use it on Chol HaMoed too, or it'll be a loss for you, even if it's not a loss of principle, but it's cheaper to buy a bigger size, you can do that too.
No.
Just as long as you're not buying it bedafka that you know for sure you're not going to use it on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. Yeah.
If we are cooking next week, the last day of Pesach, we're cooking on Thursday, for Thursday night and Friday. But we're also cooking two chickens because we need one for Friday night and Shabbos.
That's why you have an Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin permits you to cook on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. So you're going to cook
even
on Friday. What?
Even if it's 2 days before.
No, you mean you're at Chol HaMoed.
I'm cooking on Chol
HaMoed
before Shabbos. Is that an issue?
No, if you're not. Cook only for Shabbos on Chol HaMoed. I'm not sure. I have to take a look. Hey, Pashtus, if you're cooking something that you could possibly eat on. Tantiv Yantiv and Yaver of Tavshilin.
Right.
To cook Chol HaMoed bedavka for after Yantiv is a problem. But here, you're basically cooking what you could eat that one on Yantiv if you want, and it's probably okay.
Probably.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
We should adopt the cook double, not separate things like roast for young food and chicken for Shabbos.
That's for sure okay. The other way, I'm not sure 100%, because you could decide to use the one for Friday and or the one for Shabbos. Either one could be for Friday. It's probably okay. If you do it like that, it's for sure okay. Okay.
Well, this is very important.
Yeah.
I saw that the tenuva parv whip had on it.
Tenuva what?
The tenuva.
Power of a whip, yeah.
Had mahadrin, and it had Rob Whitman.
Yeah.
But it didn't have like the bells, you know, those two things together. Kosher Pesach.
It said mahadrin?
Yeah.
And it says Rob Whitman?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a special heater to buy new chatzubot for the Delta?
Is it a heater?
If, or is it okay to just blowtorch it?
It's okay to blowtorch it.
The same thing, okay, or is it a hither to buy new ones for Pesach?
It's a hither for the people you're buying it from.
And the people that do the buying, though, is absolutely, there's no issue.
If you blowtorch it, there's no problem. Yeah.
Now I'm asking
a question
about
it.
Do we have to clean our jewelry?
Clean your jewelry? Rings that you use when you make food and you keep them on when you knead dough, yeah, those you have to clean, because you may put them on and put the dough into something else on Pesach. Rings that you put in your ears, if you don't knead the dough with your ears, right, or stick your head into food, you don't have to clean your earrings. What? Well, any jewelry that could come in contact with food, that you could clean. Any jewelry that does not come in contact with food, nose rings, earrings, and things like that, you don't have to clean.
What do you have to clean it with? Can it be any cleaner or specific?
Now, all jewelry cleaners are not Roy Lachilas Kelev. They're okay. Silver that you use for food should have some kind of hechsher. That's a different thing. That the remains on the food, and it's for sure not poisonous, otherwise there'd be a lot of people dying from nice sterling silver cleaning. So that should have a hechsher. But jewelry cleaner, you can use any jewelry cleaner.
And you have to use a jewelry cleaner per se, or just
any? No.
No, you don't have to jewelry. You can use anything. But even jewelry cleaner is okay.
But professionally, I said not use Economicus.
What?
Somebody last year put that bracelet into Economicus.
So that killed it?
Killed it.
Okay, that's for sure. Well, especially if it's only gold covered or something like that.
It was silver. No, solid
silver colored. Solid silver?
Solid silver, and I killed it.
I hear. Okay. Whatever.
I had no trouble with that.
There's no need to do that except if it comes in contact with food. Okay?
Why do people bring their candlesticks on a gold table?
Because they keep it on the table, and it's an Indian to things may splash on it, and it's a chumra de pisca. People have, but if you don't keep your candlesticks on the table, there's no Indian to do it at all.
I have a piece of mirror that I use.
Mirror?
Yes, a mirror. It's a round mirror that I set on my table with my candlesticks on.
Yeah.
So that I should clean it well, or should I?
Yeah, clean it well. And you can, what's it called? Again, you can't kasher that. You can't make a little break. Then cover it with aluminum foil if it's on the table.
I hear.
Yeah. It's also okay. Yeah.
I have a glass
of soft cleaning
in the bathroom. I have very pretty glass bottles in the bathroom. Do I have to not put the new
paint
toothbrush in there?
Just wash it off good.
And I have to put the new
toothbrush. Yes. Yeah.
Every children, everybody's needs a blinker. So, at any given point, you can turn around and things can get messy. How do you ever rely on any cleaning that was done you could not?
Because at some point, you don't give your kids chametz to take around the house. Because like the mission over there in Ladover Sof. I ain't choshin shemagira chulda, whatever. You don't have to be choshish that maybe the kid brought something either. If you know you saw that he brought it in, it's one thing. And usually, as you get closer and closer to Pesach, you give him Pesach things to bring around the house and not homesick at them. But if you didn't see him go into a place that you clean, you don't have to worry about it.
You need to use kosher Pesach shemen ma'or for lighting.
I don't think there is such a thing. No, you don't have to use it. It's not chametz stick, and then the things they put into it, they don't. They just don't. I think Osher Stein once told me it's not that they put things into the oil; they don't refine it and take things out of it that leave it bitter.
The pH is incorrect.
What?
The pH is incorrect for them to eat it.
Yeah. Okay. But that means they don't take things out to make the pH proper.
No, I think Father remembers it's overripened.
Right, they don't add anything to it.
No,
so
it's overripened. Right.
Yeah.
I use pure unrefined coconut oil as a face cream.
Okay.
So can I continue to do a Pesach as long as they don't do it around my house?
It's pure. It's only coconut oil?
It's 100% coconut oil with good texture. Not kosher Pesach, but a good texture.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem.
Coconut
oil? Oh, there it has to have a good hexer. I don't know what they put into it else otherwise and what they make it on. But for as a cleaner, you can use it. Okay. Chakosh v'sameach.